The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
A deeply faithful Christian man is stuck on the roof of a home with massive flooding up to the second floor. A rowboat comes. He says, "No, I'm waiting for God. I've prayed and I know he's coming." Second rowboat comes. "No, I'm waiting for God." Third rowboat comes. "No, I'm waiting for God." The water rises. The man drowns. Now he's meeting God in heaven. The religious man says, "Where were you, God? I prayed and I was faithful. I asked you to save me. Why would you abandon me?" God says, "Hey, dummy, I sent you three rowboats. Are you blind?" Typically, when I do a message, I always wonder where I'm going to come up with one. And it never seems to fail that I always end up coming up with a message, or God gives me the message. And it's always a situation or circumstance where he is doing something in my life to show me what I need to do. And this morning is going to be no different. The title of my message, if you write notes, if not, it doesn't matter, is "When We Come Up Empty." And the foundation for this message is going to be Luke chapter 5. So if you can turn there in your Bibles or your tablets or your phone if you got it, and so that's where we're going to go this morning. My question is, how many of us here this morning feel like we are falling or failing in our current circumstances, or at some point have failed in our past? And I think all of us would raise our hands to that. I think all of us would say that we've had our fair share of failures and can expect that, because we live in a world that we cannot control the circumstances of what goes on around us, it's going to happen again. So you may not be going something through right now, but in the future you can expect that it's going to happen. And like I said, anytime I prepare for a message, I always wonder what I'm going to talk about. And I was worried about this week, because it wasn't until last Sunday that I realized, when Dave walked up to me and said, "You ready for next week?" And I'm like, "For what?" And he says, "Well, you're doing the message next week." And it's because I failed to prepare and look at the calendar. That was my fault. But and part of the reason why is because I'm in a place right now for me, and I'm going to be open. I'm very straightforward and honest, sometimes brutally honest. Some people know that better than others. where I always speak from the heart. Sometimes I speak from the head. Sometimes I say stuff I shouldn't. But that goes without saying. I'm at a place where I didn't think that I should prepare for a message because of where I'm at in my life right now. Because I didn't think, because of what I'm going through, that God would want me up here giving a message. That's my thought process on it was. Because of how my thoughts and feelings and actions are right now in my current situation in life, my attitude was really not the best, and I didn't think I should be up here. But God being God, he has different plans. And this was the week I'm supposed to be up here. And this is what he gave me. And I hope that this morning, when I go through this, that it makes sense. It makes sense to me, because I wrote it. So I hope it makes sense to you as well. The last time I gave a message was on November 29th of last year. And it was at a time when we were going through a really tough time. We had gone through about 16 months of struggle and unanswered prayer. In fact, that was the title of my message, was Unanswered Prayer, the Mystery of Unanswered Prayer. And I'm not going to go through all of that, what we were going through, but it was a tough time. It was a struggle for us, for April and I, not relationship-wise, but it seemed like it was everything else, every other area, every other facet of our life. So it was a struggle. But we knew God is faithful. We know that he is. He knows that he comes through. So we were looking upon 2016 as a new start. You know, that whole new year, everything's going to be great. And it wasn't. It got worse. But God is still faithful. He has provided for us. He has done things for us. Things are moving in the right direction. But for me, and the whole theme of this message for me is, to me, it has not been enough for me. I still feel that I need to do more, or that I'm coming up short, or I'm missing out, or there's something that's not it's not happening fast enough for me. It's the timing is off on everything for me. So that's why I'm struggling right now, and that's kind of where this message is derived from. I got to say, I'm the one with the BA, the bad attitude. April has been, of course, the rock and all this. She always is. I'm definitely the more fiery person in our relationship. This is, again, not going to be a typical Sunday morning. For those of you who are new or don't know me, I'm not a pastor, priest, minister. I have no formal training at all. I'm just a regular guy who speaks from the heart. So I hope this is beneficial. But before I get started, we all know that this is an election year, and I know we're excited about that. The TV commercials are going to be bombarding the airwaves, you know, over the next few months, and it's just going to be wonderful, because every time you change the channel, you're going to see a commercial from one of the candidates. And one of the things that I don't understand about these commercials is whoever the candidate is, they're speaking through the entire commercial, and when it gets to the end of the commercial, they say, "I'm so-and-so, and I approve this message." And I never understood why they have to do that or why they do that, because we know it's them. They're the one talking through the whole message. So in keeping with the traditions of campaign commercials, my name is Bill Middleton, and I approve this message. I want to set the stage for us this morning. So if you haven't already, go to chapter 5 of Luke. We're going to dive into that in a minute, but I want to kind of give us a little background here. Sometimes in life, whether it be our jobs, our relationships, or whatever the case, we feel that we come up empty. We feel as though we have not or are not succeeding. We feel failure ends on us, and things just aren't going the right way. And that is what, like I said, has inspired this message. I hate to admit it, but I'm a very prideful person. I'm a very stubborn person, and I hate to fail. Hey. And that's my family back there concurring with that. This does not make me unique. I would imagine there's probably some other people out here this morning that kind of have the same difficulties as well. But my confession to you this morning is, like I said, where I'm at in my life right now, I feel as though I have failed God, my family, and myself. And I know that there's no reason that I should feel that way because who I am in Christ. But you still go through these periods of time where you feel that you've come up empty. And that's where I want to talk about this morning, when we come up empty. And when we're at that point, we feel like we failed, and we're tired, and we're worn out. We're going to be reading here in just a second from Luke 5. But again, I want to just set the stage, give a little history on the passage we're going to cover. This is going to be Jesus' second miracle. This is the one after the changing of the water into wine at the wedding. And it's a story of the four fishermen who end up being the first disciples, which is going to be Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And these guys are professional fishermen. They are lifelong fishermen. That's what they do. It's their whole life. That's all they've done. That's all they've known. And they are the best of the best. They know their business, and nobody does it better. And like I said at the beginning of this chapter, they are not yet disciples. They're just going about their business, and they have just come ashore from fishing all night long. So they're tired, they're worn out, frustrated, discouraged, because they spent 10 hours out on the boat all night long and didn't come back with anything. And then Jesus comes along. Jesus is being followed by large crowds, of course, and he comes up to the shore, or to the water's edge, and he sees these two boats, and he sees these guys cleaning their nets. And Jesus goes out, and he actually gets into Simon's or Peter's boat, and he asks him to push him out a little way so he can address the crowd. And there's two reasons, I think, that he asked him to push him away, a little bit away from the shore. One, it's kind of a simple thing, and it's because water amplifies noise. So it's going to amplify his voice. So in order to address the large crowds on the shoreline, he gets out a little bit on the water, and it actually amplifies his voice. If you've ever been out on a lake, you can hear someone out in the middle of the lake talking a normal voice, and you can hear what they're saying. Sometimes you don't want to hear what they're saying, but you hear it anyway. And the second reason is because Jesus is about to choose these four men to be his disciples, and he's going to use a miracle to do it. So if you read with me, now you have to forgive me. My eyes are not that good, and I have really small print. So we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and I got to hold it way out here. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or also known as the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. After Jesus is through addressing the crowds, we're going to look at what happens next in verse 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Have you guys ever felt like this? And again, I'm probably mostly speaking just from my own heart this morning. I have felt like this where I've been tired, I've been frustrated, I've been worn out, and I don't want to go back out and put down my nets. So you can hear, when Peter responds to Jesus, you can hear the discouragement in his voice. They just came in from fishing all night long. They caught nothing. They're tired and worn out. They don't want to take the risk of going back out and coming back with nothing. He's basically saying, can't we just do this another night? So you can understand the frustration, because maybe you too have worked so hard at your job and poured everything into it that you have. You've been faithful, you've been diligent, and it's still not worked out for you, and you're tired and frustrated to the point of wanting to give up. And it doesn't just have to be a career or your job. It could be in other areas of your life, including relationships, where you've given everything you can to the other person, and it comes back void. And you're just done, and you're tired, and you're worn out. I've been there. We've all been there. And this is where Peter is in our story this morning. But as we will see, this miracle has a lot to teach us, because we are all fishing for something. Sometimes we're just fishing for approval or to be loved, because we didn't get that growing up or in past relationships. We're looking to be treated with respect at our jobs or even in our homes, and we're fishing for security or significance, and there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's not wrong to feel that way, but what happens when we come up empty? That is why this is such a powerful miracle, and when we can see it and understand it, we can use it to get through the tough times we may be facing now or in the future, because we know that since we live in a fallen world, we will face such times. When these four guys did what Jesus told them to do, not only did they receive a miracle, but they were blessed beyond what they could even ever imagine, and they had to share it with others. If you read in verses 6 and 7, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Their blessing was overflowing, so much so that they had to share it with others. Peter had to call over James and John, who were in the other boat, because they had too much. Their catch was too much. They had an overabundance of fish, and they had to give it away to others. God can change things for us in an instant. What those guys could not do overnight in 10 hours of fishing, God did in 10 minutes. Because they did what Jesus told them to do. They did it his way, and in an instant, they went from emptiness to overflowing. In Matthew, it says that we live according to our faith, and it will be done unto you. So if we live according to our faith, your faith, my faith, is a perfect measurement for the blessings in our lives and where we're at in our life. Now, that does not necessarily always mean financial, but you get the point of what I'm saying, whether it's financial, relationship, job, whatever. Your level of faith speaks to what your blessing is and what your relationship with God is. So the question I have for all of us is, what is our faith level today? And I know what mine is, and it speaks to directly where I'm at in my life. And I know that I need to walk in a much deeper faith with God. And I think at some level, at all levels, we can all say that. But when we're going through tough times, we really need to rely on faith. We need to dig deeper. The disciples took four steps of faith that led to the miracle and the blessing that they received. The first one is, they gave Jesus complete control of their lives. They were tired, they were worn out, discouraged, frustrated. But when Jesus told them to put out into deeper water, they did it. They went and did that terrible four-letter word, obey. And let me tell you something, I have a hard time with that word. They chose to obey. They went back out in the same lake, on the same boats, with the same nets, but because they obeyed, the result changed. Yes. The only difference was they obeyed. Second reason is they let Jesus get in the boat. You got to put Jesus in your boat first. What is your boat? Is it your job? Is it your relationship? Whatever it may be. Whatever it is, you have to let Jesus in your boat. It's crazy how we can get sometimes. We have Jesus in our lives, and we trust him with our salvation, but yet we won't allow him into our jobs or relationships or allow him to use us or our salvation as a platform at work for his purpose. So how many times have we asked God to bless us first, then say we will bless him? Another confession. I am guilty of this just about every day because I have a long drive to work to and from. And I'm on my bike or something thinking, you know, God, if you just do this, I'll do that. You ever done that? Am I the only one that has ever done that? Okay, there we go. God, I promise I'll do this. Just do this. It's like, and it doesn't work that way. It's backwards. I wish in some cases it would work that way, but I guarantee you if God honored that, we would never be happy with it because it's not his plan for us. We have to allow God to be first in whatever it is he wants to bless us in. If we want to be successful in whatever we do, we have to have Jesus in the boat. We have to get our priorities straight and put God first in everything that we do. I know that this has been said forever. You hear it probably every Sunday, every time you, it's probably in some song that you listen to, it's on a podcast, that you got to put God first. And there's probably a reason for hearing that phrase all the time is because we don't. And that's the problem. I know it is for me. Matthew 6:33 says what? Who knows what Matthew 6:33 says? I know Megan's got to know this. I'll give you the first word. Seek. And all these things will be added unto you. That's the verse that we need to really put into focus here. If we want our time to be more useful, we need to give God first priority when we get up in the morning by spending time with him. If money is the issue, then we need to put God first by tithing our 10%, regardless of how little it might be. We cannot afford to not have God's blessings in our lives. And he will bless whatever it is we need as long as we put him first. Yeah. Have you committed your boat to Jesus? Peter and the others didn't need to get a new boat or new nets, go to a different lake, or change how they fished. They just needed to put Jesus in charge of their boat. Some of us try and change everything else around us. We think that maybe moving to a different city or state, changing a job or relationship is what we should do. And maybe in some cases, that is the case. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do. But maybe we just need to get Jesus in our boat and let him steer. I'm just going to go back through, just read verses 4 and 5 again, because I want to kind of go back to that again. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Thank you. One of the things we need to do is admit that our efforts aren't working. You have to imagine how difficult it was for Peter to admit that he failed. Peter was a pro. He was this was his lifelong business, his profession. His whole life was being a fisherman, and he failed that night. And sometimes you fish all night and you catch nothing, and it's humbling and it's hard to say that you failed. Peter not catching fish was like Kobe Bryant going a whole game and not making a basket. I know some people hate Kobe Bryant here. I'm a Laker fan. Get over it. Sometimes, or it's like Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer not sinking a single putt in a round of golf. It was hard for Peter to admit that he failed. And sometimes we just face those circumstances that are out of our control. We can't control the economy. We can't control the weather. We can't control what other people say or do. We can't control the aging process, unfortunately. So the question is, what do you do? I'm glad you asked, because I have the answer for you. Number one, you get Jesus in the boat. And number two, you admit that your way just isn't working. I know that sounds very simple. I realize that it's a lot easier said than done, though. Although it probably shouldn't be. The Bible calls this confession. We don't want to admit it. I don't want to admit it, but it's essential that we do. There are three, I think, stumbling blocks that keep us from coming to that point of confession. And number one is pride. I can talk all day long about pride. I am a very proud person, I mentioned, and in every case, it's been to my detriment. when I put up that pride wall and I go by my own pride. It's never worked out for me. Second one is stubbornness. I admitted to that earlier. That definitely describes me. I don't want to change. I have a hard time with change sometimes. One of the things that we fight with is the old saying of, well, we've always done it that way, so we're just going to keep doing it that way. The greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. I'm going to say that again. Greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. And the reason why is because we aren't living in the past. We can't live in the past. We have to move forward. And I think at some point we all fall prey to this line of thinking. And I can even give an example of it happened to Moses. You know, when you look at the Exodus, what should have taken 2 weeks took 40 years. I'm sure that you guys all remember the story of the children of Israel going through the desert and they run out of water. So they're dying of thirst. So Moses takes his rod and goes over and smacks it on a rock and water gushes out and the whole nation of Israel drinks. And they keep moving on and keep messing up. And they run out of water again and they're dying of thirst. And Moses is like, hey, I've come across this before. All I got to do is come over and smack this rock and we're good to go. But God's like, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to speak to the rock. And he's like, no, I got this. I mean, I'm a professional, you know, rock slapper. I'll hit the rock, we'll get some water, and we'll all be golden. So what does he do? Moses disobeys God, hits the rock, and as a result, Moses is kept from seeing the promised land because he disobeyed God. Third thing is fear. And this is a big one as well. I think all of us are afraid to fail. I think that's just our nature. Sometimes we're afraid of what other people might say or think. But I think the third one inside of failure, and it is for me, is the fear of Jesus steering our boat in a direction we don't want to go. And I think that's huge. It is for me. You know, you want to dedicate your life 100%, give everything to God until he starts to take you in a direction that you just don't want to go, and you back off. The third step is they obeyed. Yes, that nasty four-letter word, obey. But we must obey Jesus in whatever he tells us to do, regardless of whether or not it makes sense, whether it seems illogical or irrational, foolish or stupid to other people, if it doesn't make sense financially, and we don't understand it or are confused by it. And I know that's hard to even consider thinking that way, but it's called faith. Verse 5 says, Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. The key to this whole miracle happening for these guys is the phrase, because you said so. Not because I understand it, because I don't. Not because it makes sense, because it doesn't. Not because I can afford it, because I don't think I can. Nope, it's because, Lord, you said so. So now we not only have Jesus in our boat, but he's giving us instructions on how to fish. So we're headed in the right direction. Here is something Peter did not do. Peter doesn't argue with Jesus. He didn't say, look, I got this. You're the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. I know what I'm doing. We don't go out in the middle of the day to fish. We go out at night. You know, don't worry about it. We'll do it some other time. He didn't call a meeting. He didn't send out emails. He didn't do Google's Hangout. He just said yes. And he didn't let his feelings, and sometimes our feelings can really cause us issues. He didn't let his feelings of being tired and discouraged make the decision. And it changed his life. And it literally changed the world. Timing is everything. The biggest difference between a home run or a hit and a strikeout is timing. Now, I know there's some other factors that play into this and all that stuff, but timing is everything. It's the same bat, same ball, the same distance between the pitcher's mound and home plate, but it's about timing. And we need to wait on God's timing. God's timing is not and never will be our timing. And for the life of me, I cannot seem to grasp that concept. I always try to interject my time, my calendar, into what I want God to do, and it never works out. And I always end up finding myself disappointed. Proverbs says that where there is no vision, the people perish. God's vision for our lives comes in three ways, or steps, or phases, or however you want to say it. First one is when. In this particular story, Jesus tells them to launch out right now, and launching out always means there's going to be a risk. The second thing is what. He told them what to do by letting down their nets. Third thing was where. And he wanted them to launch out into deep waters. Not shallow, but deep. And I think the reason why is because out in the deep waters is where the big fish are. He doesn't want us to be by the shore catching little fish, getting little blessings. He wants us to take us out into the deep waters of our faith and bless us beyond what we can even imagine. If we become the because you say so person, God will bless our lives even when it makes no sense to us at all. And I think that's probably more often than not, it doesn't make sense to us. But God knows what he's doing. Thank God for that. So what about you? I'm going to go around the room and we're going to answer questions. You guys are going to even answer back. Everybody's like, I'm leaving. This church is over with. We're done. I'm kidding. What is it that God has told you to do that you're not doing? Some of us want God to give us instruction or direction about our jobs, our relationships, but God is not going to give us steps 4, 5, and 6 when we haven't even started on 1, 2, and 3. I don't know what God has told you to do, but you do. I know what he's told me to do. And again, another confession, more often than not, I find myself looking to steps 4 through 6 instead of focusing on 1, 2, and 3. Because I want to get to the end. I don't want to take that journey. Disobedience always comes at a price. And it always hurts, and it can hurt those around us as well. When we become that say-so person, God is going to give us his vision for our lives, and it's going to come in phases. Because he never gives us the total vision all at once. And the reason for that is because he wants us to grow in our faith and our walk with him. God will tell you what he's going to do, how and when, and we need to follow his steps. He tells us what he's going to do and gives us direction. More often than not, the problem is we get the first step, what and then, steps 2 and 3, without waiting for steps 2 and 3. We want to get ahead of him, and we derail the whole thing. Then we look to blame God and say, didn't you tell me to go do this thing? You told me that I was supposed to do this. You told me I was supposed to leave my job. You told me I was supposed to move. And he's like, I did tell you that, but I told you to wait for me. And that's the problem. That's my problem. Two hands up on that one. He then shows us how, but it's always in a different way than what we think he should do. And that is where we can run into a problem. Again, I've said it before. How we think it's supposed to work out is never what God's plan is. Because this is so much better. when God's timing, when is the next step, the next phase. God's timing is perfect. We talked about this already a little bit. The problem is we don't like to wait. God's timing is perfect because when we want everything done on our time and our schedule, that's when we fail, when we try to get ahead of God. Most people live their lives in the shallows of life. I find myself there many times. They live in a way that is just enough Jesus to bug them, but not to bless them. They never go out in the deep water and never get in over their head, and they miss out on God's blessings. And I think the reason why is because it's safer to be closer to the shore. The waves are a lot less violent. I think in a word, it's fear. Again, we've talked about that already. So here's a thought for you. The reason you may be going through whatever situation you're going through now with your job or your relationship or whatever it is because God is forcing you into deeper waters. He loves us too much to let us stay in the shallows, and he's forcing us to launch out into the deep. Obeying Jesus when it doesn't make sense is the scariest, the riskiest, and the most dangerous, in a good way, thing in life. But it is the most rewarding. Fourth and final step the disciples took, they expected Jesus to turn things around. If God tells you to go fishing and he comes along with you, pointing out where do you let down your nets, do you think that you're going to come up empty? I don't think so. If he's in the boat and he's telling you how to fish, you're definitely on the right track. Peter, at this point, becomes excited. He's got a little bit of anticipation about what's going to happen. He's ready to go out and fish now because all the fear, the failure, and the fatigue from the night before are gone. He has God's presence in his boat, God's plan in his mind, and God's promise in his heart. And there is no way he's not going to succeed. If God can control the forces of nature by gathering the fish to their nets, he can meet your need. He can and will take care of whatever we are going through, but we have to get out of his way and let him steer the boat. As we start to bring this, wind this down a little bit, I want to look at the results of what we talked about in chapter 5. So verses 6 and 7, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. The blessing was overflowing. It's more than they could handle. Why? Because they got God in the boat, and he's steering the boat and telling them what to do. God is looking for people to bless. So if we just make ourselves, forgive this word because it's really not a word, at least there was a little red line under it. If we make ourselves blessable, he will bless us. He does this because he wants to show the world his glory, and we get to be a part of that and bless others as well. Verse 8 and 9, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Look at Peter's response here. Remember, he and the other guys are not disciples yet. Peter is telling Jesus he does not deserve this. This was the turning point in their lives. This miracle was not about money. It was about people. And it was about God's purpose for their lives and our lives. It's not about possessions, but it's about the kingdom of God. He's calling these guys to follow him 100%. And he's teaching them and going to use them to literally change the world. And he can do and wants to do the same thing with you and me. At the end of this, these guys were more interested in the blesser than the blessing. Are we that way, or do we care more about just being blessed? We all want to be blessed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes we have to get over the whole God bless me, bless me, bless me, and forget that there's obedience there. They saw Jesus being greater than any blessing they could ever have received, and at that point made the decision. We are with him because we know this is only the beginning. They chose to follow God after receiving the greatest gift or the blessing or the catch that they ever had. They walked away from it to walk with him. They left it all behind because they knew that following Jesus, launching out into deep waters, was going to be far greater than anything that they had ever experienced. So my question to you and to myself this morning is, are we ready to do what God wants us to do? Are you ready to launch out into deeper waters? I hope so, and I hope I'll see you out there. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.